This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
A couple things. First, a big shout out to somebody who is celebrating their 99th birthday today. And that's Marie Toronto, mom of our buddy Tony.
Wow. That is awesome.
So what a great day, and hopefully she and her boys have a great day, and her family has a great day. So happy birthday to Marie
Toronto. Oh, man. I love to hear that. Yeah. 99. That 99 is awesome.
Years old.
Happy birthday.
Awesome. And meanwhile, I'm going back and forth out there talking to Al, going out in the bullpen, and I can hear CeeLo cutting up, you know, our moment of the day back there.
Yeah.
And I guess I was making some pretty funny sounds, especially when you said that Julius Caesar salad is out there. There you go, which was extremely funny, yes.
Yeah, so it was another goal horn honking situation.
Yeah, what can I tell you, man? When you strike me as funny, I laugh. What can I tell you?
No, I know that's what I've got you, is with that particular thing.
Exactly.
You know, and the other moment of the day choice was the Dick James, the engineer.
He
was telling me the story I told where there was an intern.
Oh, Dick was unbelievable.
And Eddie he was a NYPD officer. He hired him as an intern because he was considering a career change. And there was a technical issue on the Imus show. And this intern would always come in and go, "How you doing? Hey, how you doing?" And every person, he'd have to shake every person's hand when he showed up for his shift. And this Dick James' engineer, who was, when things weren't going well, he was crazy. So he went in there to do a, "How you doing?" Dick James, while Imus was not on the air, Dick James actually grabbed his hand. This was made it even funnier. So he goes, "How you doing?" And Dick James actually starts shaking his hand and then goes, "Ah!" while he was holding his hand. And then I used to do this because Carlin would be in the newsroom all the time while this guy was around. He was the cop, and Carlin would always like complain about silly things like, "This thing never works. That thing never works." And I was like, "This cop's probably sitting next to you going, 'Oh, yeah, that's great that your computer doesn't work. Ever see a man die in front of you?'" Stuff like that.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on around here. Used to, anyway.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Not as many people.
You think that's what it is? Or you think it's just that the thing has changed so much?
No, it's just not as many people. We used to have how many interns per semester?
7 in the spring and fall, 9 in the, actually 10 in the summer.
You know how many characters we'd have around?
Yeah.
All the time? Then you had different jobs that had been eliminated throughout the year. So that's really what it is. There's just not as many people. And you get more people, you get more characters. More characters, more stories.
Yeah, and the different work weeks now, the hybrid work week, there's not as much interaction.
That's right. Like today, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, big days for the Bangladesh call center.
Yes.
Those are big days. You go back there, things are moving, people are talking. Walk back there on a Friday.
Tumbleweeds.
It is post-apocalyptic back there.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing at all. All right, so we were talking about the draft. We were talking about Shedeur Sanders. I believe that the Shedeur Sanders smear campaign has begun. That's what I think what's going on here. And you had the one quarterback coach who said that he was too cocky, and that got out there. I am not worried at all about Shedeur Sanders' attitude, because Deion Sanders, as brash and over the top as he has been in his career, he knows what it takes to win on a lot of levels. That's one thing. And he's not going to send his son into the NFL with a crappy attitude. And I know that when you get paid when you're in college, that changes some things. But I can guarantee you that Deion Sanders has had the conversation with Shador saying, hey, this is all fun and games. You can flash your watch. You can be you. But if you go into the NFL and you don't work your ass off and you end up being an NFL bust, you're going to be a joke with my last name out there. And I don't want that.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
You better work your ass off.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that he feels that way. Or
yes,
that's
he does.
Been, implied to his son in any way, shape, or form. I think the thing that he has allowed his son to be is to be himself.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of prime in Shador. There's no question about it. I mean, he does have that personality trait, which is a good thing or a bad thing. Now, he's uber confident, which I think is a great thing. A little bit brash doesn't bother me. I just want to make sure that he is supremely focused on being the next great quarterback in the NFL. And the thing that I worry about with all of these kids is the amount of money that they've already been exposed to. And really, that part of it just kind of softens things a little bit. The edge is not there. The chip is not on the shoulder. As I pointed out with Tom Brady and Brock Purdy and so many other players that have fallen in the draft and have had to deal with it, always had a chip on their shoulders and always meant the world to them to be successful.
But already I've heard from both Cam Ward. So you don't have to fall to the seventh round or the sixth round to have a chip on your shoulder. I've heard from Cam Ward and Shador Sanders that, hey, Cam Ward said, any team that passes on me, I'm going to make them pay. Well,
every player.
Okay, but that's what
pretty much every player says that.
But that's what you want, is that creates a chip on the shoulder. You can go second overall and have a chip on your shoulder.
What do you think it was that when we were watching last year's offseason Hard Knocks, and they started talking about Jaden Daniels, and you saw how Brian Daboll lit up when they were talking about him.
Yeah.
What is it about Jaden Daniels that made Brian Daboll this time of year last year light up? What did he see from him?
I mean, there's a ton of things. First of all, he had met with him, and he had gone over the offense and did the dry erase stuff, so he knew how well he knew the game. The fact that he could run those RPOs, he could move, he could run, and the fact that he had a massive arm. I think all of it. I think he had everything.
Plus, he played a lot of college football.
I mean, there was the only thing about Jaden Daniels that was a negative is what you were saying. He's just a slight build, and you were worried about when he would go and run with the football that he would get walloped. And there was one time it happened, and that was not while he was running with the ball. He got killed, and he had a little bit of a rib situation, but he didn't miss a start. He ended up coming out of that game, but he didn't miss the next game. And he had the ability to put himself in situations where he was not exposed.
He wasn't taking direct shots.
Yeah. So he found, he's learned how to do that.
So maybe he'll put on a little weight this year and he'll be improved. Did you see where Deebo Samuel said that he played at 225 pounds, 10 pounds over what he normally played at last year? And it was obvious to all of us.
Yeah, of course.
He admitted it.
We knew that.
So hopefully he's working out and he for the Commander's sake.
Yeah.
That he's going to come back and he's going to be motivated. I think if Adam Peters makes this trade and Deebo Samuel does what he says he's going to do this offseason, that makes the job even that much more difficult for the Giants.
So with the free agency that happens, so like a guy like Aaron Rodgers is going to get cut with a June 1st designation.
Yeah, so he'll be out there. But everybody knows he is not going to be, like, he can sign before that.
So he could sign before the tampering situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So like today, if the Giants were
I believe the Jets have designated him as a June 1st cut.
Okay.
And have told him that he's done. And so the question is, what are they going to do with Devontae Adams? That they're sitting here thinking that they're going to be able to trade him. Nobody's going to. The only way that somebody would trade him is if they want to get their hands on him before he gets out to the open market.
Yeah.
And has an agreement that with his agent that he would redo his contract when the trade was consummated.
Okay. But a guy like Sam Darnold, he can't sign until the league year opens.
Free agency. Because he's not cut. He's a true free agent.
Right.
His contract is up.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. So, I mean, we're going to find out sooner than later what these teams are going to be doing.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you'll probably know something by Friday. You'll really start to hear the percolating.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think more Monday, I thought. I figured Monday would be the day.
I'm surprised we haven't heard more already. And maybe, who knows?
Well, we have. I mean, the fact that Giants was just a couple of days ago that the Giants found out about Stafford. It was Friday afternoon, right? So now they had to pivot and figure out what they're doing next. And we know the options. We've gone over the options. We got over the options for the Jets as well. I mean, I wonder, you know, if they really like Cam Ward more than Shedeur Sanders, would they trade up to get him?
I think there are some really good players, and according to all reports out there, that there are some really top-end players in the top 10 of this draft. And then after that, it's basically pretty much the same player from pick 11 to pick probably 110.
Yeah. Now, you've gone on record saying you don't think these two guys are going to be difference makers like last year's quarterbacks at the top of the draft. But if the Giants were to come out of this draft with Aaron Rodgers starting for a year and Cam Ward with the first overall pick because they traded up to get him and have Cam Ward sit for a year, is that something you think is good or not?
So they're going to try to do what the Jets did with Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, but yeah. But here's the thing. We hadn't seen Cam. We haven't seen Cam Ward play in the NFL yet. We had seen Zach Wilson play. It did not look good, so they went in a different direction.
The thing about Cam Ward is he's an explosive athlete. Like, Shedeur Sanders doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically the difference between the two of them. And but Shedeur has, again, like I said, the expectations. Hopefully it's more expectations than entitlement.
Yeah.
You don't want a guy who feels like he's entitled to be picked at a certain spot and then come in and act like he's the starting quarterback without earning it.
Yeah, so you don't like that idea of Aaron Rodgers and Cam Ward together.
I think if the Giants are doing this with Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe they'll draft a quarterback, one of these other kids.
Yeah.
Whether it be a Kyle McCord or a Jackson Dart or somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't think they would.
But I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a one-year thing at this point, if anything.
There's Travis Hunter, there's Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan that everybody loves. Everybody loves that kid.
Yeah, I mean, they have to do something. They can't, if they go out and get Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins or anybody like that and not draft a quarterback high and end up going with somebody later in the draft, I mean, if I'm John Mara, I'm like, what are we doing?
The question is that, do you think that this, one of these top two kids, at the moment, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, is your future? Do you believe that those kids have the capability of doing that and sitting for a year would help them mature, kind of like Patrick Mahomes did? That's really the question you have to ask yourself if you're the Giants. Or do you say to yourself, maybe one of these other kids that is lower in this draft, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, Kyle McCord, Dylan Gabriel. You think any one of these kids can do the same thing and become a better player than the top two kids? That's the question that, you know, is evaded general managers for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like these guys are getting overrated, though. And maybe someone like Jackson Dart could get overrated and get to the first round, but it feels like these guys at the top are not. People are finding ways to poke holes more than anything.
Yeah, but if you feel like the Giants need a quarterback, what do you think the Titans feel like? What do you think the Browns feel like?
Well, yeah.
And they got higher picks than the Giants do.
Sure. You see the Jordan Travis news yesterday? So he removes Jets from his bio, and his agent blamed the Jets for his injury setback. So Rich Cimini shared a quote from Jordan Travis's agent. Now, Jordan Travis, if you don't know, was drafted by the Jets in the fifth round of the draft last year, quarterback out of Florida State. So Cimini shared a quote from Jordan Travis's agent, Derek Jackson. He blamed New York for an injury setback that caused Travis to miss the entire season as he recovered it from a leg injury he suffered at Florida State.
Did he have like a dislocated ankle? Or?
Yeah, it says his rehab with the Jets was not the best. They tried to rush him. It was too fast. There was pressure on the coaching staff, and they tried to get him going sooner than the timeline really was. That caused the setback, and we had to shut him down completely.
Yeah, and the Jets came out and said that they followed the protocol from the doctor who did the operation.
Yeah.
So somebody's lying.
But why would there be pressure to get him ready in this set? Like, Aaron Rodgers played every game last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? Who knows what the internal pressures were? And
Did it feel like Joe Douglas had to prove that this kid could play to be, justify a draft pick or something?
We didn't hear anything about him last year.
Yeah.
Not one thing, not one peep from anybody. And now all of a sudden it's become this major story.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't make any sense why all the things that were going on with the Jets last year, that they would have put pressure on Jordan Travis to get healthy to come back. I don't get.
Unless the ownership, you know, and wanted him to play or something. That could be, you know.
I mean, but you had Tyrod Taylor, though, too. You know, I mean, to throw a fifth-round pick rookie in there with all the nonsense that was happening. I mean, they hadn't even seen him play. He was hurt.
That's why it doesn't add up to me.
Yeah.
Then the player side of this argument, the agent side of this argument doesn't make any sense to me. They were rushing him back for what?
Yeah, and then he changed. That's silly that he's taking the Jets out of his.
Well, that's the thing that you do these days.
They call it a bio wipe. Yeah.
It's a bio wipe.
Yeah, did a little bio wipe.
So he's bio wiping.
This is.
Did I bio wipe? Did I take the NFL Today off my thing?
That's a good one.
I got to check that out. I think I did.
Let's see. 7 boomer aside. You find it yet?
How's this different than saying scrubbing? Is that a different term?
Yeah. I mean, this is a new one. I guess people didn't like scrubbing. No, scrubbing. Actually, you know what? Scrubbing is different. Because scrubbing means, like, you took every picture off of every mention that you have. He just took the Jets out of his bio.
I did bio wipe NFL Today.
There you go.
I did.
But the problem is you got CBS Sports Network.
That's us.
Sports.
That's what we are. What do you mean?
I can't think
part of the family.
But you're doing sports minutes, yeah.
No, I don't like when somebody puts in their social media bio where they used to work. Look where you are now. If they're not somewhere cool now, they'd be former WFAN. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's why I just took it off.
Some people do that, though, if they're out of a job or want a better job, and they're putting that in there because it's sort of like a resume that's on display. So that's why I would think someone would do that.
Don't you have a LinkedIn for that?
I'm sure, but a lot of people go to this thing, and they put something out there and be like, oh, okay, this guy worked here, and here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I took Westwood One off when I decided to move away from that. NFL Today.
Bio wiping.
Bio wiping my ass off.
I get excited when I see a scrubbing of somebody, like a personal scrubbing.
Personal scrubbing.
Yeah, like you see someone on Instagram, you know, and then all of a sudden they're scrubbed the boyfriend or girlfriend or
out of there. I see what you're saying, yeah.
But what happened?
But don't you think, at some point in time, people just get tired of it?
What do you mean?
Tired of the whole social media experience. I'm not at that point yet.
I'm tired of it. I wish I didn't have to be on X, but I do because there are some people that are very clever and send me things, and there's news breaks faster on that than anywhere else. But
true.
If I didn't have this job, I certainly wouldn't be on it, looking at it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and they also say, couples that post the most on social media of themselves are the ones that really hate each other. I like that.
They say that? Who is they? Psychologists? Yeah. Psychotherapists?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's what's the thing. I've heard that many times. It's like putting it out there. Hey, look how great we are. Look how great we are. The ones that really are great, don't feel the need to do that.
True.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Scrubbing.
Scrubbing.
I'll scrub his ass right out of here. Son of a bitch. You know, it's funny because that's the first thing people think to do nowadays. The young people, if they have a breakup or something, the first got to get them off the social media.
Well, I mean,
gotta get her off the social media.
Think about how big a part of their life it is.
No, I know.
I mean, that's
first thing. You're out. Scrub. Get the hell out of here. Well, oh man. Then you're thinking, what happened? What happened? Who screwed up? Who did what? Then your mind starts moving. Then you never reach out to the person. Why would you do that?
No.
But then you got to ask at some point, hey, what happened to Susie? Oh, nothing. Nothing happened. You scrubbed.
You scrubbed yourself,
her ass out of
there. You love some Bravo.
You scrubbed your ass right out of there.
You love yourself some Bravo.
Don't you lie to me. I saw a scrubbing.
That Capra.
I know what's going on here. You don't scrub for no reason.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got CeeLo back in here. He's got another update and moment of the day. Is Rutgers on the road?
Or
is
it they are at Purdue tonight.
Okay.
West Lafayette.
All right.
Al wanted to know this morning if Purdue University had to do with the chicken, which, of course, I didn't know the answer to. And when we looked it up, different spellings.
I mean, come on.
I figured.
You didn't know the answer to
that? I wanted to make sure that whoever,
Purdue
like...
Purdue chicken is P-E-R-D-U-E.
Correct. I wanted to make sure whoever, you know, essentially started Purdue University somehow wasn't connected to that business down
that
the road.
That original Purdue guy still kicking around? That Will Purdue?
Tom Will Purdue?
Will Purdue.
I think he passed.
Yeah. He was old when
Not
I was a kid.
NBA Will Purdue.
You know, my high school football coach, Sal Champy, went to Purdue. He's a Boilermaker. He was a captain for his team when Bob Greasy was his quarterback.
Wow. How about that?
Back in the 60s.
How about that?
How about that? Yeah.
Chicken guy.
You're checking on the chicken guy. Not the
chicken's pecker?
No, it's Frank Purdue. It wasn't...
Will Purdue was the NBA.
Basketball player.
Yeah.
Did
you just say the chicken's pecker?
Yeah, he did.
Somehow, like, I thought I heard that because I was looking something up.
Yes, that's an out drop.
Yes, Frank Purdue. Mm-hmm. All right.
Play for the Bulls.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. NBA Will Purdue.
Yeah. 2005.
I don't know if Will Purdue went to Purdue. Probably not, but you never know.
Yeah. The Sun's got to be running it now, right?
Comes out of the chicken vagina. I see a commercial where there's like two Frank Purdue sons walking around farms.
Yeah. This is, the family story continues. There's a bunch of Chris Purdue, Ryan Purdue.
Oh, boy.
They've been killing any chickens lately?
Well, because of the...
I whacked my own chicken last night for dinner.
Whacking the chicken.
the way
you piped it.
It was whacking the chicken. That's the chicken.
What's weird is like egg prices have gone up, right?
But chickens are getting killed.
But the chicken prices haven't seemed to gone up. Why is that?
That is a great question.
That is a great question.
I don't know.
Add it to your list, Al. You got to get to the bottom of that. Oh boy. God. What was the you were telling me? This air chilled chicken.
You want air chilled chicken?
I'm crying tears of laughter. Good thing it's the last hour. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready to start?
Are you still down
the Purdue chicken?
No, I'm just trying to. Like, I wonder that these guys are uber. Are they uber wealthy? You think
the Purdue chicken
people? Yes.
Like they've got like you know. Was Frank Purdue a billionaire? You think?
I would.
What year did he die?
I would say depending on 2005. So they're still running the company.
Yeah.
So nobody bought the company?
Well, they still are on their website. They say the family story continues.
Okay.
So
In 1997, I don't know, maybe the last, it ranked him, Frank Purdue, 214th, estimated his net worth at $825 million. That was 97.
Wow. So he definitely made $1 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Purdue family.
Whacking chickens.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
Good job, Al.
The Sackler family, owners of Purdue. Oh, that's different.
That's the pharmaceutical family that got sued.
That's why as soon as I saw pharmaceutical, we shut that down.
Yeah. If you get attacked by a chicken's pecker.
All right. Let's move on before we get ourselves into trouble.
Eddie has a folder.
Of course.
Chicken folder.
Yeah.
Got a folder for everything.
Whacking chicken pecker folder.
Oh, chicken's pecker just kept coming at me.
I'm assuming they were talking about the beak, right?
Yeah, but they...
They called it the pecker because they pecked down at the ground for the cornmeal or
but
whatever.
But there's a reason why they were talking about that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Jerry sometimes.
No, he knew what he was... You can hear it in his voice.
He gets sick. He's getting pecked at.
All right, we're brought to you by ServPro. Cleanup, restoration, and construction. Visit ServPro.com.
Is a chicken's pecker hard enough?
You hear him laughing there. Come on now. It's like an SNL character breaking in the middle of a sketch. Al. Did you see, I think my dad showed it to me over the weekend, I think it was Hulu, did a documentary on the Need More Cowbell sketch. Have you seen that?
I did not see that.
I would check that out if you're into...
Have the Hulu.
Oh, well then, maybe not. Well, those of you that have Hulu, if you're SNL people and Cowbell people, it was excellent. All right, I was going to play another Rick Pitino, but... Let me fast forward here, because he was on with BT and Sal yesterday here on The Fan, and a short time after Coach joined the show and was, you know, speaking wisdom and all positivity about St. John's, the fellas were back to more pressing matters, like what the correct pronunciation is, NCAA tournament or NCAA tournament. Now, I've always been a tournament guy myself, because T-O-U-R is in the word, but fine, it's one of those things.
It's a tournament.
Right, but some people say tournament.
Okay.
So that went on for a bit.
What do you say?
You know, let me see. NCAA tournament.
Yeah, turn. See, he's more of a turn guy.
You're a turn guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's the tournament.
Right. The word tour is in there. So
I don't know. Maybe it's my Midwestern 10 years in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so that's what they were discussing. Probably depends on what part of the country you're from.
Well, it's like a tournament. I mean, it's either a tournament or a tournament.
Spent 5 years in Pittsburgh and come back saying, Don Tan. You know? Yeah.
What do you, I don't know. I was 10 years out of here. But I say, like, I'm going on a hockey trip for a hockey tournament.
Okay, tournament.
I say tournament.
All right, okay. You're a tournament guy.
Tournament guy, yes.
Eddie?
Tournament.
Tournament.
What is that now?
He said tournament. He was with us.
Tournament.
Okay.
Tournament.
That's definitely tournament.
So this is what went on yesterday on the Midday Show. And then Sal remembered another word that I guess.
How did Ed Hoffman do with that?
Well. We're going to hear from Hoff in this clip.
It's like his Sal goes, tournament. BT goes, tournament. Dove goes, tournament. And then Hoff goes.
You guys are tough.
like a giant snail for a dog.
A giant what?
A giant snail.
A snail. Okay. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, while you guys are collecting yourselves, and before I hit this clip, let me correct myself. I said Hulu for the SNL. This ties in perfectly with the chicken pecker. It's actually on Peacock, which I should have known since NBC.
NBC, yeah, come on.
If you're a Peacocker, you could check that out. Anyway, Sal remembered another word he had some trouble with, and you guys let me know when you've fried enough brain cells listening to this, and we can stop it there.
Somebody once called me out for saying I was saying charcoal wrong my whole life.
Charcoal.
Right.
I almost say it's like a C-H-A-R hyphen C-O-L-E, like Garrett Cole.
Charcoal. So am I saying it wrong?
How do you say
it? Charcoal.
No, that's right.
Charcoal.
That's right.
And they were like, oh, you say it's charcoal. And I'm like, no.
Charcoal?
They're saying it
charcoal,
wrong.
Charcoal. Like if you cook the grill with charcoal.
Charcoal.
Charcoal, yes.
Yeah, I know, but why are you saying it so... Why is it separation? It's
just
charcoal.
You're saying it different.
I don't think WNBC. WNBC.
Where's Big Vomit when you need it?
Charcoal.
Say it again?
Charcoal.
That's how I say it. Charcoal.
But I guess they were telling me that I was, to Hoff's point, separating. Like, it's not charcoal, it's charcoal. But I called it charcoal. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
really
just
sure
the
what
emphasis
went on
the
there,
wrong
but,
syllables.
Yeah, but at one point, Sal was actually... saying it both ways and not realizing he was doing it differently.
Yeah, he definitely, he was, yes. Okay, you explained that well.
Yeah.
I'm the pro!
All right, so we go from that back down to Philly, WIP afternoon show. Spike and Ike, our former PD turned talk show host, taking an easy swipe at Boomer here as they were discussing.
Oh, no.
I mean, easy. Nothing major, but relevant, timely, recent.
Don't
so you can
tell
he's tapped in. They were talking about flash in the pan NBA players who saw their careers crater, including one Ben Simmons.
Speaking of Ben, did I see a doctored video of him playing basketball? It looked like, I don't know if you know, I can't trust everything.
Yeah, the AI thing.
Yeah, what it was?
I don't know. A Boomer Esiason moment here?
Yeah, that's why I didn't retweet it or anything.
There you go. So not a senior moment, it's a Boomer Esiason moment now.
You know, to Ike's credit, you know, he's a little bit older like I am.
Yeah.
And he recognized that, yes, you could get fooled.
Yes, you can. But he showed some restraint, maybe learned a lesson from what
maybe
you went
he did,
through.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe
somebody
what
somebody had to go first.
Trailblazer. At the Garden, another 4-0 shutout for the suddenly stingy Rangers.
Carrick dropped it off for Morgan. He scores! with a shorthanded goal gives the Rangers a 2-0 lead.
You know what? Igor was good last night. He didn't have to be as great as Jonathan Quick was the night before.
Igor had 21 saves for the game. Quick had 20 in the third period.
Yeah, which was ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, he was insane. Yes. So last night, overall, their defense, as Joe Micheletti was saying, was probably one of their better defensive games of the year.
I would agree. And not to beat on the Islander fans, but I mean, they're missing guys and they,
oh, they are. Just, no, they're, you know, the,
they are down right
well,
now.
Well, Anthony Duclair's got a really bad injury.
Well, they called him a healthy scratch last night.
Yeah, I don't.
I know he had that.
I know that
early in the season and missed time. Yeah.
He had a really bad groin pull.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's exactly what Matthew Tkachuk is playing with or tried
not,
to play
not
with.
Not playing with.
And now he's not playing.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
could say he's healthy scratch. I don't necessarily know if that's trying to send a
Patrick
message.
Patrick said they need more team. From everybody. That's what he
of
said.
Course. I mean, that's, you know, they're in a really tough spot right now. So
yeah. So, well, 4-0 was the final. 11th shorthanded goal of the season for the Blue Shirts. Second in the league behind only the defending champion Florida Panthers. So they're doing well. JT Miller, another 2-point game, and the Blue Shirts pull even with Detroit for the second wild card spot in the East, though the Red Wings do have a game in hand. So you get the Rangers and the first place Capitals tomorrow night. Last game before the trade deadline for the Blue Shirts. The Islanders, meantime, have lost 5 out of 7. They will host Winnipeg tonight.
Here's a question for you, Chris.
Yeah.
All right, we all think Riley Smith is going.
Yeah, they've been holding him out for roster management.
The question
purposes.
That I would have for you, the Ranger fan, Chris Kreider or Zach Jones?
I don't see how you can trade Kreider right now, considering
he's hurt. But,
well, he's hurt now. He's had you'd be selling him at like his lowest value because he's
true.
Had a rough year.
Exactly.
To me, that would be more of an off-season conversation, maybe.
Yep.
To have.
Yep. Zach Jones.
The way he's played. And considering they've moved out a bunch of defensemen already, I'd keep him around. But for whatever reason,
too, and
he doesn't
he's
seem to be high on their depth chart.
I mean, if Adam Fox were healthy, I don't know how far away he is from coming back. But, you know, I think he's done a pretty good job.
They said they're hopeful he can be back before the end of the season. So,
well, then I think you got to keep him.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Islanders, Winnipeg tonight. You've also got the Knicks and the Warriors at the Garden before the Knicks head out west for their 5-game road trip. I didn't get to any of the other NBA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had another 51 points, actually, as the Thunder beat the Rockets 137-128 for their 50th win of the year. And did you guys see the Kyrie footage?
Yeah,
from last
I got
night?
Hurt. Yeah, got helped off the
bad. And then he had to come back out, made both free throws. And they basically had to have a coach or a security member interrupt play. I think they ended up getting a technical foul just so they could carry him to the locker room, essentially. So
dumb for the year, you think?
They called it a sprain. Obviously, he's got to get tests done, but it did not look good. No, left knee.
Left knee.
Yeah.
And he's had some knee problems in his career.
Yeah. So that didn't look good, and they lost 122-98. Plus, Anthony Davis hasn't played since that debut, and he got hurt. So he's been on the sidelines watching as well.
They're done.
And they just raised their season ticket prices.
Yeah, I did see that. That's a good point.
Smart.
Tough day for
this. This is what you would call a rough patch.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, moment of the day. I couldn't choose. I was going to play shortened versions of both, but I know we're pressed for time.
No, you could. If this is an update, you can go a little bit later.
All right, very good. Nice and tidy versions of both. Number one, believe it or not, we went from Sean McVay sounding like Tommy Lugauer back to Eddie's intern Hall of Fame, which led to Gio remembering the former NYPD officer named Mike. Very polite, very friendly, trying to say good morning to the Imus crew way back when, and head engineer Dick James in the middle of a technical issue that had knocked Imus off the air.
He goes up to Bernard, goes, how you doing? And Bernard looks at him, then he goes up to Dick James, who's over the board, he goes, how you doing? And Dick James looks at him and goes, ah! And it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in my life. And that was the first interaction he had with Dick James, you know, and goes to me. He's like, is he always like that? I'm like, no, just a bad,
bad day.
Just a rough moment for him. He'll be fine.
And then you added the little tidbit that not only did Dick James scream at him, he was actually shaking his hand in the process.
He went to shake his hand and he realized what was going on.
And he
Do you remember that guy? Was that before your time?
I think that Mike guy. If Imus was still here, I would have had him been before my time. My internship started like literally the week after everything went down with Imus.
Okay.
Which was an interesting time to come aboard.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me tell you.
Certainly.
And then a short time later, quarterback hand sizes led you guys to the discovery of Marfan syndrome and the A-list people who suffer or, as it turned out, had suffered from it, including a standoff and a competition, between Abe Lincoln and Julius Caesar.
Like, if you went out on the street, you'd probably get more Abe Lincolns than Julius Caesar. You ask where Abe Lincoln is out on the street, more people give you that. Because you learn more about Abe Lincoln in school than you do Julius Caesar. You'd expect, right?
And Lincoln is literally
on the $5 bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Julius Caesar's salads are all over the place. Right. Am I wrong? Go to any restaurant. It's right. I mean, it's anyone.
Come on.
It's right up there.
A couple times a year, we get those high pitched situations from you. Or, you know,
yeah.
That's a little snort.
I mean, the way he looked at me and said that, yeah. I mean, caught me at the right moment. Yeah.
Have we come to an answer on that? Yeah, it's the day that he'll be gone. Oh, see ya. Have we come to an answer on that? Who's more famous, Julius Caesar or Abraham Lincoln?
Well, you asked whether it was here or worldwide.
Yeah.
Well, worldwide, it's Caesar.
Right.
But in America.
Abe Lincoln.
It's got to be. Okay.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can talk about salads as much as you want. It's Abe Lincoln.
You got schools named after him, roads named after him.
Real test will be about, you know, 1,000 years.
All right,
when they wake you up.
Yeah,
Caesar is still remembered
when they attach your head back onto somebody else's body.
First contact
comes out of the cryo sleep.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've had a lot of fun this morning, so why not end on bird flu for our last couple of minutes. But we did have a question that Al asked. He said, how come the chicken prices have not gone up if you buy a chicken breast? But the egg prices have gone up tremendously because of bird flu. And you put that into grok, Al, and you got a good answer, huh?
I did. They said that the chickens that are raised for, let me get the exact wording there for you. It says bird flu devastates egg-laying hens more than broilers. Broilers are the chickens that we raise for food due to differences in life cycle, flock management, and outbreak severity, causing egg prices to soar while chicken prices hold steady.
Flock management.
Yep.
That's great.
Well, I mean, it's not funny because what the hell's happened around here?
No, it's not funny. Bird flu isn't funny, but flock management.
Yeah,
the way you said that, like it was a sports term,
yes.
That was funny, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, there
like
are.
Like load management.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we do have lots of dead birds washing up on the shores around East Patchogue, where I live close to. And apparently there was some guy who was walking on Patchogue Shores down by the water with his wife or girlfriend and noticed a bunch of dead ducks and other things and called a couple of agencies, environmental agencies, and they grabbed these ducks and tested them for bird flu. So it was like 20 cases that they had there, and a lot of people have been reporting others.
Yes, and the one thing I will say, and this is a PSA, if you do have a dead bird on your property, do not pick it up with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
That would not be good.
Right. Obviously, they have said that the bird flu is unlikely to affect healthy human beings. But if you do pick up...
Well, there have been people who have gotten it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and there are people that have compromised situations that are more susceptible to things like this. But like, if you do see, if you have a dead duck or a... one of these Canadian geese that are flying around, and unfortunately you come upon it and it's on your property. Do not pick it up. You gotta pick it up with gloves and put it in a bag and get rid of it.
And also, small kids sometimes don't know the difference between things too, and that's another one. So
yeah, well, and you have two small kids, of course, yes.
Also, what about like goose poop on golf courses?
Yeah, I don't know what the transmission situation is. That I don't know.
Eddie, do you know the transmission of bird flu?
Call your buddy Craig Currier up.
Goose feces.
Call Currier up.
About the goose feces? He doesn't have any geese on his thing. He's got 10 dogs over there.
Oh, I got to deal with geese all the time over there because of the water and everything.
Yeah, but he gets rid of them.
Yeah, but he would know.
About bird flu and goose feces?
Yeah, I think so.
Eddie, do you know if it's transmitted through goose feces?
I do not.
Okay.
I asked AI. It said yes.
It can.
And spread through goose poop.
See?
Well, there you go. Well, you just
not that's not good.
You just took everybody down.
No, I didn't. That is information that people should know.
It is, yeah.
If you're out there and you're playing on a golf course, it's got goose poop on it, and then just like you go and scratch your ankle or something, and then all of a sudden a piece of poop's on your hand,
or you step in it.
Yeah,
like I would think they like if you're going to go play at Sayville, there's a chance that there's going to be some goose poop you're going to step in.
Every goose on Long Island is on the fourth fairway there. At West Sable, right?
They're all meeting there.
Yeah, because it's not.
That's right. What you call flock management.
Right. It was some community organizer goose who got everybody there. But it's not open right now. But yes, when it does, there's going to be goose poop everywhere.
Well, it's the same thing anywhere along the seashore, you know, Timber Point, all that kind of stuff down there.
Wash your hands.
But this is, you can't just be playing around with goose poop these days.
It's plays around with goose poop?
People do, man.
Nobody plays around with it.
Literally,
I mean,
play
you may
around
end up stepping in it and bringing it home.
Well, that's the thing I'm trying to say is you got to be more conscious of it now because there could be bird flu in those feces. Where it was just normal goose feces in 2025. Right now, these are not normal goose feces. These are potential bird flu ridden feces. Fair? That's all I'm trying to say.
It's definitely fair.
It's a PSA for the people that are out there.
So I don't know if you saw that Bill Belichick in North Carolina were about to do off-season hard knocks, which was odd to me just because Bill Belichick is the most private guy once you get into the football part of things. But I guess this Jordan Hudson has changed his mind on everything. But that deal is now off.
Talks oh, it is. Wow.
Through. So Jonathan Jones of CBS just posted a little while ago that is not going to happen.
You know, it's what's interesting about that, that is an NFL thing. That's an NFL Films deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was reading that when he agreed to it, that there could be some kickback from certain NFL owners about whether or not, you know, why is he doing it now when he's not in the NFL? Because he was so against it when he was up there in New England.
Yeah, but no team wants to do NFL offseason hard knocks in the NFL after what happened with Joe Shane and the Giants last year.
I totally get it. I would not want them in my rooms when I am making decisions about personnel and players and people. I mean, it just puts them in a really bad spot.